see Nicole's number.
I'd like to call to order the Education Committee. Second is the approval of minutes from the February 28th meeting.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Third is the public comments. We'll be giving 2 minutes for public comments.
Kevin Cunane, 3032 River Vista Way. Okay, an incident happened at a school a few years back. It was an extended period of bullying. A child was attacked with a weapon. Public official decided to somehow grab that report, found its way to some allies of a public official, into the press, et cetera, et cetera. I'd just like to know, has that been corrected so that can't happen again? Is the police department able to be manipulated like that? Is that okay? It was discussed at the April meeting last year, and then the report was mischaracterized, lied about. And I know the mayor's been coming up with papers today to hand to committees, which he purports to be a media report, a police report, and a court order. Court order doesn't shed him in a good light. The police report is the truth, and it has 3 parts, and I want to make sure that all 3 parts go to the eyes of council, not just the part that the mayor wants you to see, because it was investigated again by a sergeant, investigated again by a lieutenant, with more information each time. And the picture is of ugly bullying at the school level that was then continued by a public official. Okay? I want the policy looked at to prevent it from happening again. I don't want to be pulled over by, you know, the cops are good here, but all it takes is one. They're going to make something up next time. This is a manipulation of the police department, what happened. So I want to get some assurance that the police department's not used for political purposes like it was in that instance. Thank you.
Will Haney, 316 Mallard Court. I assure the committee and assure the public that our police department is above manipulation by anybody. They're also above smear campaigns, bullying, and threats. In the minutes that you just adopted, there were some comments made about certain documents. Here are those documents. Anything in here that's related to the town was produced through the Freedom of Information Act process by the town's attorneys. There's also a judge's order ordering the release of a police report that was just referenced. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comments? Okay, we'll close public comments. Next and only is Mr. Don Kennedy here with the update from the Charleston County School Board, our school district, I apologize. Mm-hmm. We appreciate you coming here, and you have Erica Taylor with you as well, which we've met, and we've developed a relationship. We're going to be moving forward with a lot of projects at CCSD and with some great input from the rest of the Education Committee. We look forward to continuing and building this relationship, and the floor is yours to tell us whatever you would like to tell us about our relationship and where we need to be better and what a great job y'all are doing.
Thank you very much, Chairman, Mr. Chairman, and council members. Thank y'all very much for having Dr. Taylor and me here today. This is my first time here addressing any part of the government of Mount Pleasant, so I'll give you a quick background on me. I came here in January 2018 as the CFO for the school district. This is my second time here. I was here from 2004 to 2007 as the CFO and Chief Operating Officer. I came down here from the corporate world in Virginia. However, I'm from the state of South Carolina. My home is Winnsboro, Fairfield County. My wife and I were up late last night watching the Gamecocks do their thing with the basketball. I'm really, in addition to my role as the interim superintendent for the school district, I'm also vested in Mount Pleasant. My wife and I live here in Mount Pleasant, Charleston National area. My wife is a big-time golfer. She and I are both big-time outdoorsmen people, and we spend a lot of time here in the town participating in the things that the town has to offer. My wife retired from teaching here in Charleston County last June, so she's also heavily involved still in our children. So what I want to bring to the town today is this new vision that we have. Back in the fall, November, Dr. Postlewaite brought together a group of people, senior leaders in the district. She wanted to talk about what the next challenges were that we need to address and what type of vision we might have on that. And so we had, based on that, we had an off-site for senior leaders back in December before the holiday break. We continued that in January, and then on January 24th, we presented to the school board this vision of children, all children, reaching on grade level by grade 5 by the year 2027. And so since we've done that, we've been asking the question, what does read on grade level mean? And so as simply as this, that as most people know, young children from kindergarten up through the third grade, they learn how to read. And then after that, beginning in the fourth grade and beyond, they read to learn. And so we have a number of students in our system who have not reached that point where they have learned how to read, and it's causing problems. So we have 51% of our students in the district read below grade level. If you take a look at children in poverty, that percentage goes up to 75% of our students read below grade level. And then you look at it from a racial lens, 74% of our Hispanic students and 82% of African American students read below grade level. So therefore, we have this vision to be able to, in 5 years, get all our kids to be able to read on grade level by grade 5. And one of the great things I think that the state of South Carolina has done, they've created a set of standards that say for students, say that those students meet those standards and they graduate from our high school having met those standards, then they will have an opportunity for careers, have opportunities for being career ready and college ready. And if they don't meet those standards, then that's a problem. Now, we have a number of our students that are below grade level that are what's called approaching grade level. So if you're a student approaching grade level and you graduate at that level and you're able to get into college, many of those students then have to take remedial courses to be able to operate effectively in college. And so you can imagine if you have a first-generation college goers coming from low economic backgrounds, then if they're going into college and have to pay for remedial courses for things that they should have learned in high school, that further burdens their families. And so the approach that we're taking on that, we have what we call three pillars, making sure that the academic standards are rigorous for our students. The second one is making sure that we develop our teachers through professional development, as well as our school-based staff, principals, et cetera, to make sure that they're prepared to engage with our students. And third, the idea of the wraparound services, making sure that we identify all of the things that, some of the impediments that students bring into the schools that prevents them from being able to learn. And so as we move forward, I'm looking forward to having, from the district standpoint, having a strong partnership with Mount Pleasant and other municipalities in the area. I know Councilman Icafano, we've talked about what partnerships could look like, and I want to make sure we have an opportunity to expand so that we can work collaboratively to make sure that we support our children. An example of what that looks like, could look like, one of the districts that I worked in the past, I was the chief financial officer for Boston Public Schools. And if you take a look at Boston, how the city of Boston embraces the school district and how the school district up there embraces the work that the city does, and they've created what they call what I call a K-12 ecosystem, where it's not just the school district that is involved in the future of the children. It's the school district in collaboration with the city, in collaboration with many of the nonprofits up there. And so here in my interim role, I'm hoping to be able to set up a foundation for that, not just with Mount Pleasant, but other municipalities in the area, so that we as a community, or a series of communities, can support our children, their future their futures, and make sure that they're able to take advantage of these opportunities that the state has created in places like the Low Country with the industries that we brought in, with industries up in the upstate, et cetera. So thank y'all very much for having me and Dr. Taylor come out and just give you a quick overview of what we're looking at going into the future with our ESSA dollars and how we hope to be able to partner with you all and others in the area. So with that, I can take questions.
Do you have questions?
Thank you so much. That is quite the job you have undertaken, and I so appreciate your words of collaboration between the district and families in this town. I think schools are being asked every day more and more and more, so don't just teach our kids curriculum, but teach them how to be a better human, teach them how to be kind, don't do drugs. I mean, it just goes on and on. So the task is immense, but I think the answer is in collaboration. And I have always, you know, every time people talk about education and you guys need to do this or you need to do that or you're not doing that, my head always goes back to the home, right? So I just didn't ask, but I would love for that board to maybe think about some sort of campaign. I don't know if you already have one, or explaining to the citizens the importance of reading to a child before they enter our huge education system, what a difference it makes in their lives. Just reading to them, with them, before they enter school, because trying to find a way to educate our citizens and what their part is, right? What's education's part, and then what part needs to be done at home? And if there's something that's not happening at home, then we can look at to see how we can make up for. But I mean, educators have become psychologists, firemen, doctors, definitely this last few years. I feel like I now have a, you know, MD now, after all the questions I've answered about, you know, do I need to quarantine? Do I not? Do I, I'm coughing. Should I come to school? But I just wanted, I think just finding a way to educate people as to what they can do to make this better, because it's not just education as an agency that's going to raise these kids and have them be contributing members of society. And I don't want to enter a huge debate, but I just, first, thank you for taking this job. And then, if you could just pass that on, you know, how do we educate and encourage people to read to their kids before they enter school?
So we will do just that. Dr. Taylor has responsibility in ensuring that we do our outreach to the community. Back in January, I did meet with Ms. Kim Jackson. She's the principal at Mount Pleasant Academy. And one of the things that we talked about is how do we do better outreach with our parents and make sure that we are able to get them fully engaged in their children's education.
It's almost like I've always envisioned like parent universities, you know, at schools. I personally did that at the last school I was at, and you would be amazed, but not a lot of people attended. You know, I got ready for 105 showed up. So, you know, how do you get them to, and this is in Mount Pleasant, it's not just, you know, so lower social, they just don't show up. Here is because their kids are doing well, you know, they don't need to know. But how do we make people understand that this is not you or us? This is, if we don't all do it, it's not going to get done. Right. But I appreciate you listening to me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much, and thank you for coming and for sharing with us. I know one of the neat things about the school district is the access to get to the parents via the kids, and I know there was an organization about gun safety, right? Like, if you're going to have a gun, like, store it properly, and they were able to send note cards. They funded it and just, and the school district supported it, and all the kids went home with this little, just a little postcard in their backpack that said, you know, be smart about storing your guns. If your kids are going to a friend's house, ask them about that. And I think there's maybe opportunity there of sending something home in the kids' backpacks and partnering with nonprofits or organizations in the area that support parents and that kind of thing, just to provide resources to them. The other question that I had was, I was wondering what the plans are to handle the population of students in Mount Pleasant, because I have friends on the constituent school board, and it seems like everyone is sort of hitting max capacity. I think I heard that there's trailers that are going to go out to Lucy Beckham to accommodate another 300 kids. I know I've heard tell of a school being maybe a high school, another high school in Awandaw. What are the plans for expansion and support of Mount Pleasant's sort of huge population growth?
So you're right. We are discussing the possibility of placing trailers at Lucy Beckham, a new school. So with the growth of the population here in Mount Pleasant, we're taking a look at, we are looking at options. You mentioned the high school, potential high school up in the Awandaw area. So if we were to do that, we would have to take a close look at how we potentially have the D2 board redraw attendance zones. One of the things that we're exploring is how do you create a school that has an opportunity for parents and students to be attracted to the school, not just the traditional high school. If there are a magnet type option that would be able to provide some relief off of Lucy Beckham in Wando High School. And so that, you know, things like that, those are plans that are being discussed right now and would be unfolded over the next, I would say, 2 or 3 years.
Okay, and at the elementary and middle school level?
So I'll have to get back with you on where we are with that. My discussion so far since I've been in the role has been almost exclusively at the high school level in terms of Mount Pleasant in the capacity issues there. But one of the things that we constantly do through the Chief Operating Officer's, Jeff Barori's office, is we look every year at capacities at our schools, and we're constantly making sure that we're planning for the future as we look at growth in the Pacific areas of the county. And then to your point about gun safety, you know, we had the tragedy in the state up in Greenville last week, and on a call with the board chair this morning, Reverend Mack, and Jeff Barori, Chief Operating Officer, we talked about strategies that the district can do to make sure that our parents and our students are aware of how we need to approach gun safety.
Go ahead.
Is Wando over capacity right now, or are they good and Lucy Beckham is going up? I don't know.
So it's Lucy Beckham that has the capacity issue right now.
But Wando can take them if, I mean, it they're not at capacity. Is Wando, I don't know. I was there for like 5 years, and when I was there, we were over capacity, but I thought they got rid of their trailers. Did they?
Well, I'm not sure, but you know, well, so building Lucy Beckham was supposed to relieve the capacity issue here in Mount Pleasant, at least at the high school level, and so I'm not sure what what's at Lucy Beckham right now. Excuse me, at that one, but we can get back with you on that.
Okay, no, that's fine.
Hopefully, and I went out, and thank you to your team to have me out at the East Cooper CAS, which is a very impressive facility that opened at a very difficult time during the pandemic. And for those that don't know what it is, it's going to be more of our technical college, if you will, which is very important. We need that workforce immediately, and you're going to help provide that. I've introduced a lot of your department heads over there with some of our department heads to try to integrate maybe the opportunity for speaking and for job placement or internship placement, which is very important. As well, some other things that we're working on is we're obviously redoing the agreement with the Recreation Department. The representative, we're going to be starting to have some representatives from CCSD at our events in order to educate our citizens. Dr. Taylor and I have had many discussions, and what's most impressive about her, and I have to applaud her on that, is she's saying, if you have citizens that want to speak to me, please let them know that she will sit down with anybody. We have a couple in the audience now that she'll be speaking with, and that's a great thing that you're going to be opening up those doors to our citizens and making sure that they understand that you're open for dialogue and open to hear from them. So, and a couple other things we have the new youth applications coming out for the youth council applications will be coming out here very shortly. The youth council is as long as you're a Mount Pleasant resident, doesn't matter what school you go to in the area, you can represent the youth council, and the youth council is going to be and has already started, but one of the things that they're really looking at is mental health, which I've just actually just saw a big article in the New York Times, I believe, on mental health in the school districts. So they're really going to be pushing for support and however they can help with that. Go ahead.
Sorry, on the youth council, one of the things that would be really helpful for the town is for the principals of the high schools in Mount Pleasant to push, and like Academic Magnet and SOA, to push it out to their students, because awareness of the youth council has been hard to market it. We're on Facebook, but the kids aren't on Facebook, they're on Snapchat or whatever, so TikTok. So if there's a way for the schools to get that word out to parents so that we get more applications and more diversity of applications from all the different schools in the area, that would be fantastic.
I think what we found out is that a lot of what's happening is we're going in speaking on the half shell and things like that, it's people going directly to the schools themselves, where if it could come to us and then we funnel it to Dr. Taylor, she's able to create something more long term instead of just speaking to one, putting things in place that are going to last longer, no matter how many people go through a different position and things like that. So I think that that's the relationship we're working, and that's going to be a very, very big part.
Great, thank you.
And I agree. We'll get that application out with Lauren Sims, and I'll actually introduce you to afterwards. And we'll go after that. And we think we're going to be doing a ceremonial tree planting at one of the schools, hopefully every year. And that's in the Oyster on the Half Shell. And that's all I have. I just appreciate you all coming out and opening up the dialogue and building this relationship and collaboration. Anything else from y'all's end?
I will also comment on the mental health. The school board just earlier this month authorized a $14.3 million investment in expanding mental health services for our students. So those positions are being filled now. So that's going to provide a greater support for our students.
Will that be one position per school, you feel, or at least one position per school, hopefully? Or?
There are several different components. One is called a common room, one is called a common kits, and so these are opportunities for existing staff to be able to use the advances in research on mental health services so that they can support children. And then there's an analysis being looked at every school to see where we have shortfalls in positions and then figure out how to fill those. So right now it's not just saying that at the $14.3 million level we're going to divide that equally across all schools, taking a close look at it in terms of an analysis what's needed in each school and then shoring that up.
Okay, thank you. Anything else from committee?
Thank you.
Anything else?
Thank you all very much.
Thank you very much. With that, we're adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It's nice to meet you. All right, you got us back on time, John.
You did. Yeah. Good job.
We're ahead. Wow.